Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel going up on Mount Sinai and seeing God doesn't stagger our imaginations, I think, because we've seen lots of stories with great and spectacular special effects. Thanks to Steven Spielberg and the folks at Industrial Light and Magic, we've all seen incredible sights of dazzling light and consuming fire, and still the hero comes through it all alive and triumphant. Against all odds, practically without a scratch, you can almost imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger swaggering through the smoldering rubble. We've seen this kind of thing plenty of times, haven't we? So when we hear about the pyrotechnics on Mount Sinai, they don't frighten us much. We can imagine the screenplay. Would it look as good as the climax in Raiders of the Lost Ark? And yet, my friends, this isn't quite right. How does one get to be so comfortable around a consuming fire? I flew to Seattle a few weeks ago, and the weather was what you might expect from Seattle. So the only glimpse of the mountains I had was on the approach as we were coming in for our landing. We were coming in late in the afternoon, and the sun was low in the west. The air at 30,000 feet was crystal clear, but below there was a solid deck of clouds, and you couldn't see the ground at all. But three startling, symmetrical mountains, three volcanic peaks of the Cascade Range stuck up above the clouds and glistened in the sun. It's all the mountains you could see, just these three. First, the closest and by far the highest was Mount Rainier, with its unmistakable volcanic cone clothed in snow, 14,400 feet. Further away, to the south, was a second one, Mount Adams, I found out later. The map tells me it's a very respectable 12,300 feet. And way off on the horizon was what must have been Mount Hood, barely visible all the way from Oregon, standing over 11,000 feet. And one other mountain pierced the cloud deck, partially obscured for a while by Mount Rainier, but then I could see it, the blunted, misshapen stump of what used to be a fourth tall cone. It was Mount St. Helens. Well, the contrast of that fourth shape with the symmetry of the other three mountains, the only objects jutting above the clouds, impressed upon me what a colossal, overwhelming force had been released on that mountain on a Sunday morning in May 1980, when an eruption took about 1,300 feet or so off the top, obliterating instantly over 200 square miles of old-growth forest. From a sufficient distance, or maybe watching old films of that eruption, we might say, wow, or even cool. Anyone who found himself on or near Mount St. Helens that Sunday morning had a very different reaction to the fire on the mountain. No living thing within 10 miles stood a chance of survival. 57 people died. The blast was the equivalent of a 24-megaton atomic bomb. No wonder that mountain looks different from the others. From a safe distance of time and space, or thinking about it as a movie full of special effects. The story of Moses and the others on Mount Sinai might make us say, wow, or cool, or wouldn't that be neat? But I think we should picture this more like Mount St. Helens than like Space Mountain in Disney World. There was more danger than delight in approaching the visible, tangible glory of Yahweh, more angst than entertainment in this encounter or in any encounter with the God of Israel. Why is that? Why should God's creatures tremble to confront their Creator? Well, our first parents knew that same fear after they disobeyed. They heard the sound of God walking in the garden, and they ran and hid in the bushes. But on Sinai, there is no place to hide. Every bush is a burning bush, aflame with the intense, consuming presence of the living, holy, jealous God. And who can abide the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. When you meet him, it's not time for wow or cool. The appropriate response is more like the last radio message from geologist David Johnston, who was observing Mount St. Helens from what he thought was a safe 5 miles distance. Vancouver, Vancouver, this is it. And that was it. Or as the prophet Isaiah put it, when he saw Yahweh high and lifted up, woe is me, I am undone. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Why? Why should seeing God in all his glory be at all a risky or dangerous business? Isn't that what we want? To see God? Why can't we just sit back and enjoy the show, the fire, the bright cloud, the thunder, the earthquake? Because encountering God is no spectator sport. This is not a movie, and it's not a game. Because he is God. Because the God you meet is holy, and you are not. This place on the mountain, this vision of Yahweh's glory, this fire of God's presence is no place for sinners like you and me, because the danger is not the fire or the bright cloud or the thunder or the earthquake. The danger is God himself. He is the Holy One, the righteous judge. The leaders of the people did not dare to approach the mountain until they were commanded to do so, and then only sprinkled with blood. Spattered with the sacrifice of the covenant God had cut, the rest of the people were not allowed to approach, not that they would want to. The penalty, after all, for touching the mountain was death, even for livestock. Moses alone was to go all the way up the mountain and meet Yahweh in person, and even Moses, we are told, was not allowed to see God's face. You cannot see my face, Yahweh told him, for no one can see me and live. If we forget that seeing God was a perilous and deadly risk for sinners, and that it still is, then we can't understand this story in the lesson for today, or see the miracle of Yahweh's mercy in it. Here it is. They saw God, and they ate and drank. These men saw the God of Israel and lived to tell the tale. Not only is it easy for us to misread this perilous pericope, but we also tend to be pretty glib and casual about encountering God's presence ourselves. What I mean is that we sometimes seem to approach the Holy One of Israel with a wow or a cool or an awesome, when an uh-oh would be more appropriate. The lion of the tribe of Judah, after all, is not a tame lion. You might as well talk about a tame volcano. And yet we act as if we have him figured out and under control. We know how the whole deal works. So this holy ground is our home turf, and nothing can scare us here. Too bad. Too bad. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. If you're a sinner, maybe you ought to feel just an itsy-bitsy little bit of fear once in a while when you stand in the presence of the living God. In the Bible, remember, sinners who see God are surprised to survive. So who do you think you are? Nothing stands between you and me and annihilation but his patience and his promise. There's the rub. His patience and his promise. That's all you've got. And that's all you need. Those who went up with Moses would never have dared set foot on that mountain except God said, come, and provided the sacrifice for their peace and the blood of the covenant, his covenant with them. Spattered and protected with Yahweh's promise of forgiveness, they were not destroyed, and neither are we. Nothing but the blood of God's covenant. Better blood than that of bulls. The priceless blood of Jesus Christ can seal and guarantee that promise. Without that covenant and that promise, there is no such thing as a safe distance from which to watch the fire of God's glory. With that covenant and that promise, you and I can approach. Not casually, not flippantly, not swaggering, but confident, even bold, confident of finding the mercy we don't deserve and the help we need. If you were an eyewitness of the Mount St. Helens eruption in 1980, I bet you told somebody about it. If you were anywhere close to that event, I'm guessing you're glad to be alive. Protected by Yahweh's promise, the leaders of Israel survived something even more precarious. They saw the God of Israel and lived to tell the tale. Forgiven and safe in Christ, you and I too stand in God's presence and live to tell the tale. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.